Off the Ball Rugby.
It's the first time I've seen a real confidence and a swagger in their attack, cohesion in passing and stuff, and that's quite telling.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
Yeah, we're a couple of days away from the third major of the year. It's and the sixth US Open at New York Shinnecock Hills. Shane Ryan of Golf Digest and also the co-host of the Ryan Line here on Off the Ball with the long forgotten Nathan Murphy joins us to talk about this tournament. Shane, how are you doing?
Yeah, doing good. How are you?
Not too bad. We were saying that there's so much going on at the moment with the World Cup especially, and we were in a very, very busy time of GAA in this country, and especially this weekend. It's almost kind of caught up on us that the US Open is on this weekend. So it's like we're not really overly prepared for it. But whenever I see Shinnecock Hills, I kind of get like these weird shivers. I enjoy the crazy courses where nobody can play, but it's like the media and the golfers tend not to. But this is definitely one of those courses that tends to give golfers the chills.
It definitely does. I mean, it's a hard course under normal circumstances, and it's one of those courses where they always say, you know, when the wind is blowing, it gets really, really hard, but it's always blowing. The wind is always blowing here. So it's always this kind of, you know, Rory had his press conference this morning, and he made the point that there's always this balancing act because you're on the teetering edge of difficult but fair versus crazy, right? The ball's not staying on the green. Everybody's embarrassing themselves, making quadruple bogeys. And so it's always fun to watch and to see how they try to maintain it when inevitably it seems like we get dry, hot, and windy weather, which, you know, constantly makes the course harder and harder.
And it is one of those, like, it's a links in all but name, really, isn't it? It's inland, but it's no trees. It's very exposed to the wind near the coastline. And as you say, like, if the weather is dry, there's only so much they can do to keep it watered.
That's true, yeah. And it's not even really that much inland. I mean, it's maybe not right on the coast, but it's very close to Long Island Sound, and we're on this little thin strip of land. So, yeah, it's tough. I mean, you can water the crap out of it, but the conditions, if they don't favor you, you know, famously in 2004, they got panicky and tried to water it, but, you know, they had these rudimentary sprinklers and the wind would just blow the water into the rough. And so it's always that kind of thing where you're like, the elements have a mind of their own. And so it's cool. It's it looks like an open venue. It's crazy. Visually, it looks just like a links course. It's like if you told me this was like some course on the road that I've never been to and dropped me here, I'd believe you. But you know, the grass is different. It doesn't react. It doesn't play like a links course, but visually it's just spectacular. And it looks like you could be in the UK or Ireland for sure.
And just to remind people that they're listening, I think the 04, when you're talking about Retief Goosen wins that one, that's one where there's a period of play where no matter where you land the ball on the green, it isn't staying on, and it just became kind of farcical. Yeah. And then in 2018, you had like a load of Rory shot over 80, I think one time, one of the rounds a load of people did. And it was fluctuating between easy and hard constantly. And isn't that the tournament as well where Phil just gave up and just hit the ball while it was moving?
Yeah, that was 2018 when he did that. And that was the easier of the 2 years when Phil did that. So it is. It's like there's potential for high frustration for sure. But it's I think for people watching, it's going to be a lot of fun. There's a couple of ways a golf course can be difficult. So last year at the US Open at Oakmont, we just saw like these rough that was just so thick where if you hit into it, you're dead. And that's kind of, it can get a little bit dull. It can get a little bit boring and predictable where it's like, okay, well, he missed the fairway by a few feet and now he's screwed. But with this, it's more like you have to be so strategic and so defensive and so careful. But if you can do that, it's really, you kind of get the sense that you're surviving a tough test in more of a fun way, in more of a dynamic way. And again, like I said, the course is just beautiful too. So I think even if you have high scores, it's going to be really fun for people to watch and really fun for those of us here to kind of follow it.
I'm sure the USGA still have a kind of a sadistic nature to them, as they always have, and it won't go away completely. But there are reports that they are just maybe taking it slightly easier on the players this year than they have in the past.
Yeah, Paul Rick Harrington was saying that about a week ago. He was talking to Eamon Lynch on the Golf Channel, was saying, you know, it's surprisingly playable. I think with this course, the USGA, like whatever sadism they have is checked by history. So, I mean, 2004 was hilarious. I mean, heads rolled after that. It was such a disaster, and so many bad decisions were made that, you know, people know the name Mike Davis, who became like the czar of the championship setup. He got his job because of that year, because everybody above him was like sidelined because it was such a poor showing. So I think, yeah, whatever sadism here, they're more on the careful side. They're like, let's not get caught where things are so bad that we look like fools.
Yeah, okay. Well, what about the tournament as well then? We're coming into it, I think, where any US Open that plays until he wins it will be about Scottie Scheffler for now, I think, in much the way the Masters was about Rory up until last year, career Grand Slam. But it hasn't really been his year. I think for those of us who aren't watching maybe the PGA Tour every week, we're seeing clips of him shanking in the bunker or fighting with his caddy, and his scoring is good. He's in contention every week, but he doesn't look like the Scottie Scheffler of the last 4 or 5 years.
No, he doesn't. It doesn't feel like he's, you know, peaking right now. It feels like 2026 will be one of those, and this is crazy to say this because of his high standard, but it feels like by his own, you know, high standards, it's going to be kind of a lost year. I feel like he's not going to win at Shinnecock this week. I could be wrong. I mean, he could always pull it out, but, you know, even today in the practice round, people watching him said, boy, he doesn't look like himself. So yeah, it's just tough for Scotty. I think everybody's mortal. It just proves it. And as good as he's been the last couple of years, there's just something not clicking this year. So that makes it wide open. You know, I think we saw Daron Amink, you know, someone like Aaron Rye winning completely unexpected. Golf has had a series of favorites win. But I do think anybody, you know, you play smart and you hit some putts, this week could be a big week. Or Rory could win, right? It could be a huge name that wins. I think Rory is kind of geared up for this and ready to go. So it's going to be really exciting.
Will it suit? Will the course suit Rory's game? Obviously, he had some issues here back in 2018, but that was happening to everybody. But in general, will it suit him? As you say, it's not a course that's punishing rough of last year, where if he's not online, he's screwed, and you can't expect Rory to go 72 holes online either.
Yeah, I think it does suit Rory, at least on paper. I mean, you know, as you said, anybody can have a really tough week here. So he's got to play well. But the two things that I think suit him are, it does benefit you to drive the ball far here. And people go, well, isn't it good to drive the ball far anywhere? And it's like, yeah, but here even more statistically, it rewards you. But the other thing I think that could be really good for him, you know, part of the reason he's so good at Quail Hollow, where he's won a bunch of times the course in Charlotte, is that his long irons are so good. And that's a course where your approaches tend to be longer, both because the course is long and, like at Shinnecock, because sometimes you just don't want to take driver. It's a little too dangerous. So in other words, if, let's say, the average approach shot is more like 170 yards versus 120 yards, that's hugely beneficial to Rory on paper. So I think he's got as good a chance as anyone. I actually think, you know, gun to head, if you're like, you have to pick one winner or we pull the trigger, I think Rory would be my guy this week.
Okay, right. That's interesting. Can I just go back to Scotty for a second? Just you mentioned Rory there, and I jumped in. And do you subscribe to the like purple patch theory of golf, like that everybody has their 3-4 years where they're at their absolute pinnacle, and everything else is just trying to get there? Rory appears to be either someone that's had two or is defying it. But they say even Tiger, for all his wins and his longevity and so on, had his 3 years, and his just happened to be better than everybody else's in history and so on. But is there a chance that we've seen the best of Scottie Scheffler?
It's always possible. It's 100% always possible, right? I mean, we've seen guys where, you know, like Brooks Koepka had his peak years where he won most of his majors. Then he came back and won another, but now he's kind of middling. Yeah. We certainly saw it with Jordan Spieth, where Jordan Spieth looked invincible, you know, probably like 2015 to 2017, maybe. And now he's essentially just kind of like, you know, finishing 50th on the PGA Tour. So it is possible. Scotty feels different. You know, Tiger's longevity was incredible. Rory's longevity has been incredible. I mean, I don't think you can really say Rory peaked two different times. It's just that he didn't win majors in the middle, right? Yeah. I mean, he was still right there. He could have won a million of them, and he just didn't. But his level of play never flagged. So he's one of those rare, like, legendary, you know, generational talents like Tiger. Scotty, to me, feels more generational. And so I just think he's so – his mindset is so good for this game, and his skill set is so good that again, it's hard to predict the future, but I don't think he's like Spieth or Koepka. I think he's more like Rory, more like Tiger, where you're going to see him win 8 majors or something like that and be good for a very long time. However, within that, just like with anyone, you're going to see some lulls, and that's what it is right now.
Okay, yeah. In terms of someone else who we thought who may have had a purple patch, and it might be for very different reasons, but like Bryson DeChambeau won his second US Open 2 years ago in the most dramatic of circumstances that we all remember. And it feels like his career is very much at a crossroads as he comes into this week. I mean, this could be the second last time we see him this year. And then who knows after that? He's I don't know if he's still talking about this or if he's moved on from being I'm going to be a YouTuber and a four-time a year major player. But it doesn't feel like Bryson DeChambeau as a going entity in the world of golf is... It doesn't look like it's long for the world compared to where we were a couple of years ago, where you were thinking you're fancying him in every major.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think his mentality is terrible right now. I mean, his skill set, again, is so good that you don't want to rule him out. But just when you hear his quotes and you see the way he plays right now, it's like this guy is either not focused or there's, you know, an existential issue going on. There's just something that has dialed back the focus. And he is so talented, but I think he needs to be ultra focused to be able to prepare himself to win tournaments like these. So like Shinnecock now, you know, if you ask me if he's going to make the cut, I would say, you know, more than 50% not. It just doesn't seem like he's there. Is he going to become a full-time YouTube guy? I don't know. I think that's a bit much. And I think it would be a bad decision because his YouTube fame is tied to his golf fame. So if you remove one part of that equation, I think his YouTube trajectory just kind of steadily goes down. But it just kind of shows you that he's not where he needs to be. And, you know, LIV might be a part of that. I think it's hard to maintain your intensity when you're playing full time on a circuit that nobody notices and nobody really cares about. So, but it's a little bit feast or famine with Bryson. So I think just because we're in a bit of a famine spot now, he tends to go to these melodramatic extremes with the way he talks about things. He's going to come back to the good part. It's just that he's a very volatile guy.
Okay. Is there anyone else then? I want to talk about like some kind of maybe outsiders and they can win. We had Aaron Rye. We had JJ Spaun last year at the US Open. But in terms of the bigger names, like obviously Brooks has won at this course, doesn't feel like the game is there at the moment. John Rahm looked more like himself at the PGA. He looked more like the first time we've seen the real John Rahm at a major in a couple of years. Is there anyone else you'd be looking out for from the big names?
Yeah, you know, I think Rahm is really cycling up. I've talked about Rahm being like, you know, his whole trajectory is trying to figure out how to win a major while he's on LIV. And while you don't necessarily get that competitive spur week in and week out, and you've got to try to channel it all into a major. I think he's getting closer and closer. He was close to the PGA. He played pretty well there at the end. So I think he has a chance. I don't know if this guy is off the radar or not, but Wyndham Clark is just found it again. And, you know, he won an LA Country Club, so he's a US Open champ. But, you know, again, he seemed to fall off the map and it was puzzling because you're like, this guy is so talented. He's so, you know, it feels like he could go on and win a bunch of majors. And now in just the last month, you're starting to see it again. I don't know whether it's mental or what it is that he's found, but he is playing lights out. And so coming in, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he won this week. He's that good. So those are a couple guys, you know, Matt Fitzpatrick and Cameron Young have been playing excellent all year. You know, maybe this take is a month old at this point, but back then, I was like, one of them's going to win a major this year. I wouldn't be surprised if both of them do. So they'll be close to the top. Fitzpatrick, in particular, had a pretty good week in Canada. I think he's coming in kind of hot, and so I look at him. But yeah, those are just a few of the guys. You know, in terms of outsiders, it's really hard because they're until outsiders. Aaron Rye, it had been a long exactly right. So it's like, you know, I'll throw a name out of the hat. Ari Sveinsson, an Icelandic amateur. If he wins, everybody can praise me. Yeah, I might be talking to him in a little bit. Yeah. So, no, I mean, but I think, you know, like, you got to pick the heavyweights in the end. I think those are the guys who've proven it. And you know, aside from an Aaron Rye or two, those are the guys who tend to win.
Yeah, it's got to be brilliant. We've got our usual interest in Rory and Shane here. And we've got Porik, who's playing in three of the majors this year. Obviously, as U.S. Seniors Open champion, he is qualified. So, always good. He was brilliant at the PGA. Before I let you go, Shane, I just want to talk to you about the story from the weekend about Phil Mickelson reported in an American outlet that he was basically kicked out of a San Diego golf club that he's been a member for years because of alleged unwanted contact with a staff member there. I'm just interested in how that's gone down. Phil's a little bit off the radar. He's not playing golf at the moment because of a family health matter. But, you know, his reputation in the last kind of 5 years has sunk to a level you couldn't have believed when he was at his height.
Right.
But this is another story on top of that that just kind of almost feels like there's no way back for him, really.
Yeah, and you know, the outlet who did it was Golf Digest, which is
who I work for.
It's just because, so I kind of saw this, you know, story build. You're completely right. It's like there were signs of, you know, everybody always knew about the gambling stuff, and there's always little things with Phil. But yeah, if you could have gone 5 years ago, or, you know, even 10 years ago, it would be even more surprising to go, this is where he ends up. It would be incredibly shocking. Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things. It's hard to characterize it anyway, but to say that some lives feel like they're on a downward trajectory and that they're going to, you know, it's like stating the obvious, I guess. Tiger's another one for different reasons where it's like, man, things don't look good, right? Things just seem like they're not handling the present very well. And that just happens to people. And, you know, it makes you question, you know, to what degree superstardom and fame and celebrity have something to do with this, or is it just something in their personalities that was always leading them to this place? Hard to say. Like, we don't know that, but it's not good. And it's surprising. And I'm sure for a lot of people upsetting, because, you know, a lot of people love and look up to these guys, and nobody wants to think that their heroes are kind of going to end up like this.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was going to say hero is probably the word that a lot of people would have associated with Phil over the years. So not nice at all. Shane, thank you so much for joining us. I know that you're going to be on the Golf Weekly free live feed at 11:30 our time after the golf finishes, or close enough to the golf finishing anyway, on Sunday night. So we look forward to that.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot.
Great stuff. Shane Ryan there of Golf Digest, and obviously of the Ryan Line each week, where he does a show with Nathan Murphy that you can listen to on Off the Ball.
Off the Ball Daily.